time for another Castle Country Focus interview on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, as well as KOALITV.com. I'm Dave Hokanson. Joining me today in studio, I have Brady Bradford. He is the director of the Southeastern Utah Health Department. We're going to talk Halloween safety, and we'll touch a little bit on a coronavirus update. Brady, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Dave.
So it's the temperatures have gotten colder. That must mean that Halloween is right around the corner, right?
Exactly, and particularly this morning, we're taking note of that temperature.
So what are some ways that people can look out, especially this time of year and this year, in fact, that people can kind of, you know, take a little extra precautions as they're headed out?
So thanks for asking. You know, every year we like to do a little bit of a Halloween safety update, and this year certainly takes a little different twist, and we've got a lot of questions about, are we canceling Halloween? And really that's not our role, and we anticipate that people will be out doing some normal Halloween activities. So we just ask everyone to be extra cautious. Stick with your family more than you might. You might typically send children out with a lot of friends or large family groups, and we encourage people to reduce those and stay with their families and maybe go out a little bit earlier so there's some light so you can see where you're going and who's going where, and keep some distance between different groups. And there may be people that just decide to forego that trick-or-treating experience and stay home, and in which case there are a number of activities that can be a lot safer. We put stuff out about, you know, of course, pumpkin decorating and have the kids face off against the parents in a chili cook-off and things like that. But really, we want people just to be aware of their surroundings, what they're doing, and who's at risk. If you're at risk and feel a little bit threatened on Halloween because of the crowds that are going around, we encourage you to keep those lights off, stay inside, or go somewhere. Certainly no one should feel obligated any Halloween, but particularly this Halloween, to respond to the masses of people.
I think some of the funny things that I've seen going around is the people that have created the candy chutes and stuff that you see online.
Pretty clever.
And it's very simple. Yeah, it's just a piece of PVC pipe. You just throw candy in it, and it slides right down into the basket. So there's always those, too. You can, you know, distance yourself that way and just make sure that everybody out there has a very safe and, you know, and comfortable Halloween for them.
Yeah, yeah. There is certainly an element of kind of this normal holiday that we want some element, some part of that to be part of our lives this year. And though it won't be a completely normal Halloween, if there are just small modifications you can make, like wearing gloves to hand out that candy, or even better, install a PVC chute to land in the kid's basket, that's great.
So get out and do that. Now, we've talked about Halloween. Let's kind of shift gears a little and talk about the thing that it seems like we're always talking about. Last week, we moved to a high level, correct?
Correct.
Now, from a moderate to a high level, what really changes? Anything, you know, masks are now required in most places, correct?
That is correct. The governor had kind of instituted this social gathering limit of 10 people for the moderate level for 2 weeks, and then we immediately shifted into the high transmission level, and where that is kind of a mainstay of that. So it really points back to those Halloween parties and upcoming Thanksgiving parties, where we want to make those groups a lot smaller because that is where we're seeing a lot of transmission. So that, and then you highlighted the masks. We're really still encouraging that. It has worked, and we want it to continue to work so that we can have some normalcy, some small amount of normalcy moving into the winter.
And, you know, it's one of those things that I hearken back to, and we talked about this the last time you were in here, I hearken back to what the gentleman said, you know, that he always has people that don't want to wear masks. I don't think I should have to wear a mask. And that's, if you don't feel comfortable wearing a mask, that's one thing. But what can you do to help the situation right now? that's another thing that people need to think about. And I would kind of look at that as, you know, what are some ways that people, if they don't feel like wearing a mask, what would be some ways that they can help out?
Yeah, so that means maybe you shop online when you wouldn't normally do that, or you get grocery pickup, or you're changing where and when you're going places so that you're not intermingling with a lot of crowds. It's really recognizing that, yeah, we have some differences of opinion on this. We need to respect each other. There's a way that we can all be moving forward in a manner that reduces the amount of disease transmission in our communities.
And so now that we're at that high level of transmission rate, we're looking at 2 weeks right before we're reevaluated once again. So that's like the first week in November, correct?
Correct.
And we want to see that number go down. We just need to be extra cautious and extra vigilant when we go places and take those kind of steps to make sure that we're okay. And nobody's saying that nobody can go out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We have learned enough that we're not anticipating shutting things down wholesale like happened in the spring. And the last couple of days, we've seen a little bit of a reduction in our caseload, although it's still pretty hefty. We hope that continues. We'll also look at what percent tests are coming back positive. That's remained high and been some concern. And then I think a lot of people have keyed into the messages coming from hospitals that, particularly on the Wasatch Front, that have felt pretty overwhelmed.
And the one thing that I think, and we've talked about this before, right now, we are probably testing right now in just our area more than we ever have, correct?
Absolutely. It's more available, and so that's been nice. We have more rapid tests available. The tests that are a couple of, you know, we're not having to wait 4 or 5 days. It's generally 2 days if you're sending a test to a lab. All of that is really good. It's just that high rate of positivity, we're looking for that to drop.
And is there anywhere in particular, or is pretty much everybody across the board now using that rapid response test?
It's gone back and forth. The manufacturers have anticipated that they'll have a lot of availability, and then we'll get a new message to say hold back a little bit and use the traditional tests. So we still are having to navigate availability of supplies, but that doesn't mean we don't have tests available. It's just we have to understand during a given week which test has more is more readily available.
So if someone were to go and just get a COVID test that's not the rapid response, how many days are they looking at?
Right now, pretty much 48 hours.
Even without the rapid test?
Yes.
So that's an improvement right there, even.
Yes.
Because originally, wasn't it like 3 to 5 days?
We were seeing a lot of 4 or 5 day results, and that was mentally trying on a lot of people. So this is a lot smoother now.
Okay. Brady Bradford with the Southeastern Utah Health District. Thank you so much for coming in today, and hopefully one day we can have you come in and we'll talk about the fact that people can, breathe a little easier.
Yeah, I am confident we will get through this. It is very challenging right now, but we will get to a light at the end of the tunnel.
All right. Now, for more information on interviews like this, you can always check out our website, castlecountryradio.com, or you can head on over to Castle Country Focus. Listen for that on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.